Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest. And the latest is we are on the road. You hear that crowd. You hear that party that's being had. We're at the Willowbrook location, Buffalo Wild Wings. Come on out here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock, but you can stay much longer. We got college football playoffs tonight. NBA, you can watch all of that. Ole Miss, Miami, we'll get to that game. I'm certain coming up in the next segment that may have something to do with T-Mill's best bets. Boy, do they need to – what do they need? We need Tyler to have a big day.
This is one of the worst weeks we have had in a while.
Wow. We're a bad day away from fade time on Tyler, but that's coming up a bit. But TV's all over the place here. You want to watch Ole Miss Miami, you got two dogs in the fight like our guy right here does. You can come on out here. Perfect place to get you some good drinks, anything you need. Shout out to Bud Light, by the way, who helps us put this together. Or any kind of food, anything you want here at Buffalo Wild Wings. You know it's Thursday, so they got the boneless wing special. So come on out here and enjoy yourself. We got one more prize for you to win as well, an autographed helmet, a game-size helmet signed by Jalen Petrie. So come on out here and have a good time with us and enjoy your Thursday right here at Buffalo Wild Wings Willowbrook. All right, Clint, let's go ahead and dive into the injury report right now as – the Texans, they get ready to take on the Steelers. Both teams put out their injury report. Since this game is Monday, everything kind of pushes back. And today did not practice, Clint. Danico Autry, Titus Howard did not practice. Gerard Jordan, he has an ankle. Titus Howard is an ankle as well. Danico Autry, this is a neat thing. This is kind of something they've been doing seemingly since he's been back. And then Kamari Lassiter with that ankle/knee did not practice. Guys that did, Trent Brown, Jamal Hill, Sheldon Rankins was limited. Jalen Reed back. He's been out with that forearm issue that he had to have surgery on. He is back and activated, and he was a limited participant. Derek Stingley, limited participant with that oblique. And then full participant, Ariante Ursery. That's the big one down there as he is back and ready to go for this game. With that, Kamari Lassiter, Clint, as we said in the last segment, hell, he's already told reporters he is playing. He didn't even need the rest today. He is going to play. I feel pretty good about Titus. Feel pretty good about Danico Autry as well. But, Clint, I think the big one there is Gerard Jordan. He's got a high ankle sprain, and they haven't determined when the timetable will be when he gets back. He is the one that I would say – looks like he's in jeopardy of not playing. And if it's a legit high ankle sprain, it's hard for me to see him at the running back position getting in a week.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And this is a much bigger concern than we would have thought, obviously, two or three weeks ago. Gerard Jordan has become a definite counterpunch to Woody Marks.
Do you think he took over the backup role?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. No question about it. He was the backup running back for this football team. And the good thing about it was he was a better fit than Nick Chubb for this team, and he had a very similar skill set, has a very similar skill set to Woody Marks. When you're talking about a smaller back, that one-cut back that's got great vision, that has some explosion, some twitch, he's got all that. And now you're forced into a position of, do you go back to Nick Chubb if Gerard Jordan can't go, or does last week's second half come into play here, where British Brooks was a guy that obviously built a little bit different but showed some of that same twitch, some of that same one-cut ability, and looked really good in this offense. So what do they do at the running back position is a big question here. And then you mentioned a couple. I know you mentioned several guys, but Trent Brown with that knee? You know, is he able to get up to speed at an older guy that's 380, 6'8", 380 with a bum knee? That could be problems when you got Highsmith and obviously Watt coming off the edges. Yeah. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on as well. The rest of these guys, I would imagine, are going to be A-OK, at least the ones that we've watched play all year long.
If Trent's going to play, it's a good sign that he started out the first day of practice this week on the field.
Yeah,
in pads,
absolutely.
And if that's the route they want to go. But you're right, man. That backup running back role, we know that they want to run the ball. And, Clint, we know they run the ball if they're successful or not. They keep doing it. And we know Woody Marks is there. It's a good thing to see, Clint. He's not on the injured report at all.
Yeah.
And he's been on it for the past several weeks. But we know he's going to get carries. But, I mean, if they want to run the ball 25, 30 times, like when you start to think about the weather in Pittsburgh and just the physicality of the game, as D'Amico alluded to earlier, I mean, they're going to use more than Woody Marks. And I would guess Nick Chubb would be in line for that. Although I think there's a fair thought that British Brooks has looked more closer to what Gerard Jordan has brought to the table. But I'd imagine they probably still go with the veteran in this.
Here's the information that we're not privy to is so important here. Is British Brooks' time, because he is a specialist on special teams, obviously, but he practiced throughout the week at running back all year long. Is ball security a question with him at all? Right.
Yeah.
If it is at all, you can't go.
You can't
take that chance.
You can't get any mistakes like
right.
That.
Is pass protection a problem with him? You just can't take that risk at all. Now, if it is, if those things are a problem with him, he's the only back on this football team that has that problem. Because from Dare Ogunbowale to Jordan to Woody Marks to Nick Chubb, they've all been good in protection. They've all had great ball security. So if he's on this football team, he's going to be the only running back that has problems in pass protection or ball security. But I'm going to tell you, if this may seem like a little bit of a stretch based off of 1 week last week, they know him well. They know him well and personally will trust him to do some of these things if he's given them reason to, right? And so I it wouldn't shock me one bit. If this is just a matter of who's the better back, like who gives you a better chance to win,
just handing it off,
I think we could possibly see British Brooks.
But right, all the other stuff adds.
It's a big part of it. Here's a piece of this too, Ron, that we've got to look at is – the Texans have to view this thing as how do we keep Woody Marks ready for third downs? You got to go down and prioritize like where Woody is the most important. Obviously, you'd like to have him on every down, but you got to go down and prioritize this thing, right? It is third downs throughout, right? It's end of first half. It's fourth quarter of a ball game, right? He's got to be in the game. If you're in a closeout situation, he's got to be the guy, right? If you're in a critical third down or fourth down, he's got to be the guy touching the
on
football.
The field, yeah.
If you're – especially if there's no Juwan Jordan, if you're in a two-minute situation, he's got to be the back in the game. It can't be Dare Ogunbowale. It can't be British Brooks. It can't be – now, it can be if he's gassed and he needs some rest. But by plan, you've got to prioritize that. To go into a game and go, we're going to go Woody Marks and we're just going to turn around, he's going to be a first, second, third down back for the entire first quarter. I think that's a mistake.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the deal is how do you handle Woody Marks reps throughout the game? That's going to be big here.
For the Steelers, real quick, there is a report. Jaylen Warren, their running back, he nearly gained 1,000 yards this year. He did not participate with illness. So that seems like here as it is Thursday, that's not going to be something that keeps him out. Cam Hayward, limited participant, but rest related. And then Aaron Rodgers is on the injury report, full participant with that left wrist hand situation. And then T.J. Watt, full participant with the lung situation. So he looks like he's good, primed, and ready to go for this game coming up on Sunday or Monday.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, college football playoff, the first national semifinal tonight. goes to Glendale, Arizona. The Fiesta Bowl, Ole Miss out of the SEC versus Miami. Miami, a 3.5-point favorite, again, coming up at 5:30. I'm guessing there may be some money on the line that Tyler's going to try to get you to win and really, frankly, get himself to win coming up here in the manner of moments. But Miami, as we said, 3.5-point favorite. This was, I would say, Clint, a surprise matchup. I don't think most people thought that, except for my man right here, but I don't think most people thought that Ole Miss and Miami would be the matchup here with Georgia on this side and Ohio State on this side.
Let's be honest. I mean, half America was mad that Miami got in.
Yeah.
And when you look at Ole Miss, 99% of America had them losing once Lane Kiffin bounced, had them losing to Georgia. And so, yeah, you're damn right. Yeah. Not many folks had them. The only man that did sitting in front of us, I think, Ole Miss versus Miami.
Yeah, it was emotional with both of them. But how do you see this one going tonight? As we've got a good look at both of these teams, defensively led by Miami, is what they've done a number on two really good offensive teams. I won't say the first team that they did a number on, but then Ohio State, they also shut down as well. Again, this offensive team, even without Lane, they put up a bunch and looked easy against Tulane. And then against Georgia for the second time this year, they put up high points on Georgia. And really, they've scored pretty well against everybody they've played this year. Your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, man, I'm excited to watch it just as a football fan. I think when you look at the two edge rushers in Miami, these guys are – one of them's going to be a top five pick, and then the guy opposite him is probably going to be a top 20, top 15 pick as well. So you got those two edges that are going to be fun as hell to watch. And if you look at this thing, Miami's got several players in the top five or top 10 at their position in college football or in this year's draft, and Ole Miss has very few. But with the emergence, if you will, I know it's been over the year of Trinidad Chambliss at quarterback. I think it's the best story in college football right now. Maybe the coach at Indiana, but that started last year. The individual story this year, to me, is more so the quarterback, Trinidad Chambliss. I don't know. I like the power versus speed, and I don't know if that defines it. I think you got a little bit more inside the box, a little bit more player-driven, power-driven, physicality-driven in Miami versus Ole Miss. That's a little bit more exotic, a little bit more creative, a little bit more about speed, and you got them coming together in a Final Four matchup. I just think it's going to be a tremendous game. And, I've done it a couple of times now, at least once. Last week against Georgia, I thought Georgia would get them. I'm going to go with Miami in this one.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. I've heard Miami a lot. I've heard from experts, from people who are covering the game. I've heard Miami a lot today. And trust me, I'm impressed by what they've done. But they're almost a little bit like a much lesser version of the Texans, where it's like, what happens when they force that, when that offense is forced to have to score, to have to really get up? That's when they have not looked impressive. Like, they've run the ball well, but, you know, if you got to put the ball in Beck's hands right now, like, I don't know. And I just don't know that defense is just going to – obviously, Ohio State's got a ton of talent. But I think Ole Miss does a lot of different things. They use all of the field, sideline and north and south, to their advantage. And I think their quarterback is better than what they've had to face thus far. I just don't see them just shutting them down like they've done the first two games.
Yeah.
And I do think this is going to be a game where Beck is going to have to make plays. I'm not saying he's not capable, but it's not something that he's been doing a lot of here down the stretch of the season. And that's what I like Ole Miss in this game. And it'll be interesting to see if they make it this far and we get more Lane stuff to go along with this. But I just think they have enough on both sides of the ball to hold off this Miami team.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, it's hard to ignore what they did against Georgia last week, man. They took Georgia's number one receiver out of the game in large part until late. Georgia got on a run late and made a few plays. They matched the physicality of Georgia last week, and so who's to say they're not going to come back and do it with Miami, right? So, Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator for Miami, is more of a spread tempo guy, where I think they're a little bit more settled into a more conservative, don't make mistakes role. Yeah. I trust that he's going to be able to put some points on the board. I think Fletcher, Miami's running back, is going to have a field day. I think Beck has a good day because the running game gets rolling, and that's why I'm going with Miami. But I'm gonna tell you, Lacy's nasty. He might be my favorite college football player right now.
And then that one kid went crazy. Number two, I forget what receiver it was that went off against Georgia.
They got Wallace or Wallace had a
Wallace.
Big game.
It was
and
Wallace.
Stribling had a big game as well.
Yeah, so. It was Wallace. So yeah, it'll be a good one coming up tonight. We'll see who earns the right to take on the winner of Indiana and Oregon. All right, as we continue, T-Mills Best Bets, baby, we've moved it up. Get used to it, 5:30, T-Mills Best Bets. He's going to try to get off the schneid, guys. I mean, he's got
it's a disaster.
10. He's 1-for-10 to start the week. So we're going to try to get there. That's coming up next right here live on the
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings Willowbrook, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There we go. Welcome back in as the crowd is picking up. People are having a good time out here. We're at the Willowbrook location, Buffalo Wild Wings, enjoying ourselves on this Thirsty Thursday playoff edition. Thirsty Thursday. As we're out and about hanging out and having a good time getting you ready for not a hell of a college football playoff tonight, Ole Miss, Miami, and then ultimately Monday night, the playoff game in Pittsburgh as the Texans look to win their first road playoff game in team history. So that's coming up as we are getting you prepared for that. T-Mills Best Bets, we've changed the time on that now, 5:30. Changed the time of that at 5:30, so stay tuned for that coming up.
We might have changed time again if it keeps trending in this direction.
No, we stick it out. We don't quit. We stick it out.
You're right. Scared money don't make money.
Yeah, no, I don't mean for you to. And now I've looked at your bets, and now you've decided to get aggressive.
Got to.
1-10 start. No, I don't like
that. Got to. 1-10. Got work to do.
CJ Stroud, shout out to CJ and D'Amico, who were kind of on the show earlier today. CJ talked about something that we've had some conversation about, a lot of people have talked about, and that is the use of his legs, him running, him trying to get extra yards, first downs, what have you. This was him actually addressing that earlier today.
I don't know. I just try to play as fast as I can. I think every game I try to use my legs if I need to, but sometimes it doesn't present. I've been getting spied lately, so that's kind of cool. You know, I haven't got spied in my career probably in a long time, but so whatever the play presents. But yeah, I mean, I think you know whatever way you got to get the job done, get it done.
Oh, man, now the league is seeing it. Now, Clint, they're spying him.
No, the league ain't seeing nothing. They're trying to keep him in the well.
They've caught on.
Yeah,
they're spying him now, baby.
Yeah, okay.
But they do it. No, I know you've been you've been against this, so you're fine with it. You're fine with him not running a lot.
The less CJ Stroud runs, the better game the Texans have.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, of course, when a play breaks down, I want him to try to go make a play. I want him to make the most of it, and I want him to help our team win and get out of bad situations, sure, but I don't want my head coach talking about C.J. Stroud running. I don't want C.J. Stroud talking about C.J. Stroud running. That ain't his deal. That ain't how we're going to win. The more we see C.J. Stroud run the football, the less or the worse the Texans are doing. I mean, if he's running the football over the plate, it's because we're not protecting him. A run here or there, and because he gets a little crease, cool, sounds good. I want him to remain a passer 100% of the time until he breaks the line of scrimmage, period, point blank. Now, I've been annoyed with these kind of questions and answers more so than I've let on radio. It literally irks me when he's asked a question and when I got to hear him talk about his top speed this offseason with his strength coach, right? It literally annoys the hell out of me. I'll say this. It did get me thinking, right? I'm hard-headed, but I'm willing to think about things. I think Nick Caley ought to use his legs inside the 10-yard line.
Use Nick Caley's legs?
No. Nick Caley to use his head. I don't give a damn if he sat down the whole game. I don't need him using his legs. But inside the 10-yard line, I'd be a QB plus one run to put him in gun, put me a couple wide receivers out there, spread them out a little bit, present that you're going to throw the football, and then QB plus one run that thing, run power, run whatever your goal line runs are.
So you'd be open to that?
Absolutely. One, it's where you've had the most issues offensively is inside that 10-yard line. Two, we've seen you get so creative that you're using Togiai in a fullback dive and you're using Dari Agumbawale in a wildcat form. So obviously you'll get creative. And number three, it's the damn playoffs. You got to pull out all the stops. And you got a quarterback that's big, he's thick, he's big in the legs and in the ass. He can handle it, he can push. And if you're going to use his legs, where you use it is inside that 10-yard line.
Okay. All right, so you're at least you've gotten open to that.
I'd bet that we see it.
I would bet we don't.
What do you want to bet? You're not a betting man. What do you want to bet?
Love.
You can't be scared if they call it. What do you want to bet?
I bet if we see a designed QB run.
Yep. Inside the 10-yard line.
Anywhere. I'll give you anywhere. I'm talking about a design where we know this is design run, not a blown play. I get you about a tequila.
Really?
And I don't even – I'm so confident I don't need you to give me nothing.
Oh, thank you, bud. That's a hell of a bet. It's good for me, ain't it?
Nah.
Yeah, man.
Nah, I ain't doing that.
I'm going to tell you, would I be all right with it? I encourage the hell out of it.
I bet you do now. Yeah, I get you.
I mean, we got to be able to punch that thing inside
and
the 5 yard.
And not a cheap bottle of tequila. I'm going to throw that.
Give me no cheap stuff now. I want some of that good stuff.
All right.
After this dry January, I'm going to need it.
All right, let's do a little T-Mills best bets as he's coming off hail, guys. 1-for-5 on Tuesday, 0-for-5 on Wednesday. The Rockets didn't. I mean, he got hosed on the hook with Durant. Yeah. I saw that.
Hosed
both
on
of y'all
the hook.
Did. I saw both of y'all on that, and he's going to try to redeem himself. So, hey, maybe you go with him, maybe you fade him. I don't know, but here is T-Mills best bet.
I hate a hosed hook. I hate that. And we don't go 0-for often if you catch best bets. We got to rebound in a big way. It has been a rough week. But I got five wagers for you, and they're within the NBA and in this college football playoff matchup tonight.
You got five. I'm counting six.
Oh, I do have six. You're right.
Yeah, you got aggressive.
I'm shook, obviously, from the 1-10 start. So I got six bets, 3 for the CFP game and 3 around the NBA. First, I'm taking Ole Miss +4. Give me the points. They take on Miami tonight.
That's ballsy.
I like that.
I am on the under in this playoff game between the Hurricanes and Ole Miss. Under 54. I believe the number's actually a little lower, maybe 52.5,
53. I could see how you arrived there. Go ahead.
I like under 54 a lot. And then also within that game, I am on Ole Miss to score the first points of this game tonight. So they need to score first rather than the Miami Hurricanes. Those are your three best bets in that one. Now your three NBA bets, which we went 0-for-5 on last night. Pacers taking on the Hornets tonight. I'm on the over in the first half. It's a low number, over 112 points between those two in the first half. Next, I'm on the Cavs +2.5 as they go to Minnesota and take on the T-Wolves this evening. And lastly, your last best bet for tonight. You know I struggle with this guy's name. Ron.
Go ahead. Lauri Markkanen.
Oh, maybe I don't. I thought I was pronouncing that right.
I mean, that is. I mean, that can't be no more obvious, T.
Markkanen. It's a lot of – there's double Ks, a lot of letters. It freaks me out.
I hear you, man.
Yeah. Utah Jazz Lauri Markkanen, over 25.5 points in his game tonight. We've hit that bet for over points for him a few times this year. Those are your six best bets, and we need a 6-for-60
Yeah, I actually liked the first two bets.
Ron, you liked all of them last night.
I did. No, I didn't like all of them.
I liked
the Rockets bets last night. I'll just tell you this. I can't even have the type of pressure of picking who's gonna score in the game first. I don't even know who's gonna win the coin toss. I don't know any. I can't even you talking about just a field goal.
Anything,
like I can't. I hope that rolls for you. I just can't.
Yeah, we don't do the strictly just straight up chance kind of wagers often, but there it is.
That one's straight chance. I like the Wolves Cavs one. Marketing, they're playing Dallas. Cooper's been pretty good. Got AD.
I think I've hit on Markkanen points like five or six times.
I'm trying to think of what the pace in that game would be. I don't know about that one. I definitely like. I told you I picked Ole Miss. I like Ole Miss +4.
Y'all.
And I don't like Miami scoring a lot of points in this game. So the under 54 I don't hate. I think Clint's going the opposite way on that.
Well, I hate both of those first college football playoff bets. So that means you're gonna win. That means you're gonna win. That is a good sign, Chief.
I was gonna say the way you talk about that game, you're gonna hate that.
Tyler, the worst thing Tyler likes is when I go, yeah, man, I like that bet. Tyler's like, damn it.
How about it? Hey, Texans cheerleaders are in the building.
Hey, look at that.
There you go. Clap it up.
Come on in.
There you go. Do your thing. Come on in and have a good time. Again, if you want to check it out again, at T Mill Real Deal, where you can find all of his best or all of his bets.
This is the best.
This is the best of it. All right, let's kind of start this and pick it up on the other side to kind of jump ourselves into this conversation. If you are scripting the first 15 plays, and we've seen Nick Caley have some good success, especially the Chargers game, if you're scripting the first 15 plays, how many of those plays would be Nico Collins-specific plays? How many of those would it be? We'll discuss that coming up.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings Willowbrook, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Oh, it's been a good time, good party out here. Texans cheerleaders are in the building, moving around here and talking to the good people out here. And, yes, we get done at 6 o'clock, but that doesn't mean you got to stop partying here, man. It's a lot going on. A great spot to get your Thursday night going. Great spot to watch the college football playoff. Have drinks, have food. Shout out to Bud Light as they are with us each and every week putting this on. And Buffalo Wild Wings as well. So come on out and have a good time. Remember, tomorrow as we continue playoff edition of Football Friday, we'll be in Katy at Boomer Jacks. Boomer Jacks will be at Katy. Come on out and have a great time there with us. Prizes that you can win as well. And just a good time as we continue to get you ready and prepared for this big playoff game on Monday night between the Steelers and the Texans.
I don't want to get you off schedule here, but you know, yesterday we talked a little bit about that. Had folks worked up about that Trevor Lawrence, CJ Stroud conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You asked, I think you asked about, or maybe just made the comment about Trevor Lawrence and the MVP where he ranked. This ain't official. I don't even remember the publication.
But it was five.
It was a real one. It was third.
Third, yeah. Well, he's had a
Matthew Stafford, Drake May,
then him, yeah. His second half has been it's the best football he's ever played in his life.
Well, nine rushing touchdowns and what is it, 28 or 29 passing touchdowns. Yeah, that's a year now. So
he's rolling. So
anyway, I didn't want to get us off. I just thought of that a while ago. I saw it, and I was like, damn, I meant to tell Ron about that a little earlier.
Yeah, no, he's having a hell of a year. But, again, come on out here and hang out with us. Again, hang out with us tomorrow, Boomer Jacks and Katie. Also, coming up behind us as we finish up here, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, will be together, and they'll be joined by the Hall of Famer, the General. John McClain will join the fellas tonight, and then you know we've got a little Area 45 live and local late night. There you go, 8 to midnight. Patrick Creighton and Sean Bajani will hold it down as they get rolling. And they got a big game to talk about tonight. So a lot to talk about as they get you ready for the playoffs and everything happening as well. So Area 45 following John McClain, who's on Texans All Access. Again, if you missed it, I know some people are coming in. We just started it this week. We've made a change with T-Mill's Best Bets. They're no longer at the end of the show, coming in at 5:30. If you missed his bets, he's got 6 of them out on the table. All right, this is the day he turned around. Yes, he may be 1 for 10 for the week thus far, but this is when he turns it around. He's got 6 bets that you can look at. You can go at T-Mill Real Deal to check out what he's got down. All right, Clint, I set this on the other side for people to think about. And if you're Nick Caley, and we know all teams do this, and we know Nick Caley has done it, and to be honest with you, we've seen some real good success for the Texans with their first 15 plays, their top script. If you're scripting the first 15 plays, and this is based off what you've watched from the Steelers, what you want to accomplish, what you want to do, how many times or how many plays would you have Nico Collins be a guy that you're attempting to get involved with, somebody that you're attempting to hopefully get the ball to go his way? How many times would he be involved in the first 15?
Well, I don't know how many times he'd be involved, but I can tell you where there would be at least 5 of those plays where I would either —
that's what I was thinking —
I would either line him up formationally where they can't put a corner over the top of him and a safety over the top and take him away. I would use motion. And when I say motion, I ain't talking about that silly jog across the formation and set your feet kind of deal. I'm talking about real motion and snap the football and get him to try to give him to — he'd be first in my read, trying to give him the football that way. I would definitely line him up. You know, some of the stuff we saw Slowick do last year, line him up in the backfield, pitch a toss, quick snap it and pitch a toss to him.
Those are the type of plays that are immediate. We're getting it to him.
I would definitely throw him a screen, some kind of quick screen in this game. I don't care how you get to it. I'd personally use motion. I'd personally use a bunch formation, which is 3 wide receivers, a cut split or wide. I don't care. I'd use a bunch motion, get some guys blocking out in front of him. I would do all of that in the first batch of plays. And now it's twofold here. It is – one, you're getting your best player touches, no doubt. That's the beauty of it,
yep.
Right? But there's also — we talk a lot about having some eyes in the booth that you trust, right? There's also something about if you're up there and you're watching, and we line up Nico Collins in this position, or if we line him up in the backfield, or if we do, you know, whatever, however you look at it, how are they treating the backside? You know, if you line him up in the backfield, what's their immediate coverage go to? Because it's probably – you don't do it enough for them to have multiple checks to Nico Collins being in the backfield.
Yeah.
So if he's in the backfield, what do they go to? Do they go to all-out man because they know they can cover everybody else and just – and zero in and crowd the line of scrimmage and get after Nico? Or do they just stay in a shell and play their – like, in how did they – and then you're at a point where later in the game you can put Nico back in the backfield and know, hey, man, I'm finna get Higgins one-on-one over the top, or I'm fixing to get, you know Dalton Schultz. Based off how they played it earlier. So I think there's multiple reasons why you do it. Number one, you're getting your best player involved. Number two, you got all week. You got 10 days to 8 days to script it and work and rep the plays. But then three, there's a good chance he dictates what defenses do. There's a good chance they're going to line up somehow, some way, to give you another play off the backside of it. You know what I mean? And that is that's where I would go with it.
The reason why I kind of stated that and wanted to kick it off with that is just ultimately, man, this has to be a game where there isn't a CJ or a Nico Collins just wasn't real productive, wasn't really involved. Like, we've seen the – how the hell did Nico have four targets? Like, we've seen that. We've had that conversation multiple times. Now, they have won some of the games, but then but you're like, how the hell did that happen? Yeah. Like, this cannot be a game in which you don't – you are the reason, or you allow it to be very easy for him to not be involved in the game. I mean, to me, there's got to be a flat – there's got to be at least two plays in there where I'll be damned, like – something really broke down to where it didn't go to him immediately. Yeah. Whether that's a screen, which, you know, we haven't seen that much of him doing that this year, but in years past, he's been really good at that. If that is there's something where just a quick hitch, something to where he gets his hands on it, because I think he's got to get it early, he's got to get it often, and it cannot be a situation where the Steelers can run a certain coverage to just take him out of the game.
Yeah. Well, I told you what I would do. I'm just going to tell you, don't bank on it. I think there's several things. One, they hadn't shown to do it all year long. But two, you know, the most recent success against a playoff football team was one where, because Nico Collins was stationary backside, he drew so much attention. You hit two big plays early. You got out to a lead. And with our defense, that is winner, winner, chicken dinner, 9 times out of 10. And so – I think that is just going to – I mean, not that it was ever going to be a thing to do some of the stuff we've talked about, but I think the fact that the last outing versus a playoff caliber team, they made hay opposite him. I think you're going to see more of that.
Yeah, I mean, you said it earlier. They seem to be more about the plays instead of players, right? Yep. They seem to be more.
Well, the most interesting thing about that, they are, you know, it's the saying that a lot of great offensive minds have. It's not new. It's been around forever. In critical situations, think players, not plays, right? You can go up and scheme up the best thing, but if your best player's not getting the touch, it could be a problem. And, you know, I think this particular offense is extreme when it comes to Nico Collins, is unbelievably extreme towards plays. You know, they never think player, they always think plays. Now, unless, again, you're doing a Dare Ogunbowale, and then you're like, why is it Dare? Or they're doing some kind of, even some of the jet sweep stuff, why is that not 14 or 12?
But the thing is, we've seen it sometimes. Like,
yeah.
To me, the Raiders game, it felt like CJ just said to hell with it on a couple of times and got, what, a couple of pass interference penalties on plays where, you know, Nico wasn't just straight open or the big throw in double coverage. But, again, to the point you're making, all of those plays had Nico Collins just out there, you know, wide.
Well,
and the Raiders just said, F it. Yeah. We're going to set a safety right there. And for two quarters, he wasn't that much involved.
Well, you're just not – like, I mean, I've always said it. You know, the to me, when I'm talking about, you know, Nico Collins getting touches or even Jalen Noel or any of those guys get – it's like we're talking soft corner, throw the hitch. You know what I mean? I don't care what the run is. Just throw the hit. Watch Aaron Rodgers. We're going to watch him this weekend. But watch Aaron Rodgers. Anytime there's a soft corner, watch him abort the run action. Everybody else is blocking some run, and watch him flip it out there.
Just get it out there real quick.
I mean, yeah, just get it out there real quick. Like, those are the kind of touches that I'm talking about. The in-rhythm stuff is, hell, I can call those plays. You know, I mean, I can call Nick Cayley's playbook and just go, hey, man, read it out. If it goes to Nico, it goes to Nico. Read it out. You know, that's what you see a lot of.
All right, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job as always.
Great job to you guys.
We'll be out tomorrow, playoff edition. Football Friday, we'll be in Katy. Boomer Jacks, come on out and hang out with us 2 to 6 and enjoy yourself as we get you ready for Steelers Texans to talk about these college football playoff games. Again, Clint, Tyler, great job. I am Ron, the show as always, Houston. We love you, baby. I don't think you're out looking for him.
I'm not because they annoy me, so I don't want to see
Stanley with a Stanley, yeah.
Tyler, you got a big handle Stanley?
I got a couple of them, yeah.
The Stanley or the Yeti?
Both. I'm versatile. Yeti, yeah, Stanley, tiny yeah, beers, a,
got,
whatever.
Yeah, I got Yeti
tiny
too.
Tiny beers, whatever. Yeti, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Tyler. Let's roll.